It's The Scratch with Joe Weston and Mike the Intern.
Mike the Intern, Joe Weston in the studio. It's been too long. Our latest edition of The Scratch, we're happening now. Two busy guys. You know, we sit and talk all the time. For some reason, we don't get enough time to do these. We should do them.
Yes, we should. But well, I will tell you, I have an idea to increase listenership for The Scratch, though.
Whoa.
You ready for this? I'm going to lay this on you. Every time I hear somebody talk about podcasts that they listen to, they're always listening to Serial Killer Podcast, almost always.
My wife, last podcast on the left, I love it. I listen to it, too. Your Favorite Murder. There are so many.
So
I don't know what it is about. And you know what's weird, though, about that? Almost all of them are women.
Yeah, well, no,
I don't mean that. I'm not trying to say women are like weird and crazy and stuff like that. I'm just saying that most of the women that I know, maybe it's the women and the friends that I have that are women, they all love that stuff. Well, and I do too, but it's mainly more of a chick thing for some reason.
I was getting my hair cut the other day, and the guy barber next to, there's a woman that cuts my hair, and a guy barber that works in her shop was talking about, he was listening to one about women who fall in love with serial killers and write them letters and want to marry them and things like that. So I think what we should do is we should sit around for an hour and talk about, you know, what would Jack the Ripper listen to? What would Ted Bundy's favorite classic rock band be? You know, do stuff like that. That would increase our listenership if we did that.
We could talk about rock and roll stars that turned murderers.
Jim Gordon.
Yeah, that's a sad story, though.
Yeah, that's a sad one.
He was schizophrenic and that then abused as a kid. And I mean, obviously, he had some issues. That's not like your typical Ted Bundy story where he was just a psychopath that decided he wanted to do what he wanted to do.
For those of you who don't know who we're speaking of, Jim Gordon was a session drummer, played with a lot of different bands.
He was part of Derek and the Dominoes.
He wrote the piano part in Layla, and he heard voices in his head that told him to kill his mom, so he killed his mom. Yeah. So
he's out. Has he passed or is he still alive?
I think he's still alive.
Yeah, I think he's out. He's been out for a minute. We're gonna have to ask the producers to look on that one because
are there any other
serial killer drummers? Let's see if any classic rock killers. He was sentenced to 16 years in '84, and he was denied his parole because he declined to attend his hearing in 2004, and then. They basically said that he was still seriously psychologically incapacitated and in danger when he's not taking his medication, and he's been denied paroles and won't be eligible again until 2021. So he's still in the California medical facility in Vacaville, California.
Huh.
Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Can you think of any other killers?
Murderer musicians. You know, this was supposed to be my turn, but I guess we'll do it. We'll do that. No, this is a fun topic.
I think this is a good one.
No, of course, murdered musicians is what it comes.
You know, there was some thought for a while that part of the reason why Buddy Holly's plane crashed was that he had a gun on board and it went off and killed the pilot. There was some thought that that happened, but I know that the Big Bopper's son had his body exhumed to see if there was any
foul play or bullet wounds
or anything like that, and there were none found. Buddy Holly was a seriously weird guy. He was just a weird guy. He had a high school sweetheart that broke up with him, and he just like really kind of never got over it. And then his wife, like he proposed to her on the first date. And they eventually got married.
Sounds like I'm an obsessive person.
Yeah, she claims that she had a miscarriage when she found out that he died, but there's no evidence. There's no evidence that she was even pregnant. But
well,
you know,
that is the basis for the next of kin reporting before it's reported on television and radio is because of that.
Because of
the Buddy Holly thing is that she heard it on the radio, collapsed, lost the baby, and then that was kind of where the standard was set. Hey. Maybe we should tell the family first before we broadcast it. At least that's what I've always heard. Okay. So now in 2014, of course, Phil Rudd didn't kill anybody from AC/DC, but he did threaten to kill someone. So I think
okay.
That kind of
counts. All right. Yeah.
Obviously, Vince Neil from Motley Crue did kill someone, vehicular manslaughter, even though, yes, he was drunk and he didn't. I mean,
why is he not in jail?
don't get me started on that whole thing. I mean, maybe the rest of his life at what he's doing and the fact that he can't sing anymore is punishment enough, but he's still living in a mansion and, you know, whatever. That whole thing is just, it's beyond me. Of course, the
Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. Yes.
Charles Manson.
Charles Manson. Jay's coming in.
Oh, hey,
what's going on, man?
We're doing a podcast.
He heard Vince Neil and he came running. He's like, oh, they're talking about something.
Yeah,
cool.
Wait, you guys don't know nothing about Vince Neil.
Great.
Since it's a podcast, can we swear?
Yeah, you can say whatever the hell you want.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck yes.
So why is Vince Neil not in jail?
Yeah, that's where we are on.
Tell us.
Because we're talking about
what
musicians
do you do now?
That murdered somebody. We're talking about musicians that murdered somebody. And, of course, he killed somebody behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah, what happened there?
Got trashed and should have never drove.
No, I'm saying what happened on the legal side of that.
He got a hell of a lawyer, I guess.
Phil Spector.
You know.
Yeah, Phil Spector. I guess he could be, even though he's a producer, I'm sure he played an instrument. So you can count him, Phil Spector.
At least the skin flute.
Yeah. I'm glad we let you in.
Yeah, here I am. That's what I'm here for, guys.
Seriously, went downhill fast.
We were talking about Charles Manson. He actually has some records. He wrote, they ended up using it as a Beach Boys song. Eventually, one of his songs is a Beach Boys song. Or either one of the Wilson brothers used one of his songs and didn't really give him credit. I think it was a Beach Boys song, though.
Yeah,
and that's what set him off.
Yeah, that was the whole story behind it, right? That's what I heard this out of the mouth of a Beach Boy. When I met the Beach Boys that time, the story was he was mad and wanted to get back at Brian Wilson, and somebody else was supposed to be at that house, some producer guy, and he wasn't there. So they just killed whoever was there.
Wow.
So it was that's like the
secret story
for
I heard.
Wilson.
Yeah, for like a producer or something like that. That's what my boy that's like the stage manager for the Beach Boys was telling me.
So there was a group in Nashville called the Prison Airs. Five, I know, right? Great name.
They're on their that right there.
They also happened to be incarcerated at Tennessee State Penitentiary, and they were all serving 99 years for murder. They had one song called "Just Walking in the Rain," 1954. Ended up selling 50,000 copies. They were even allowed out of prison on day passes to tour.
Oh, amazing! That's the sweetest gig ever.
Convicted murderers. Had a hit.
Wow.
Well, what about the other guy, Mike? The other guy that went crazy and killed his mom or somebody?
That's actually how this whole thing started.
Yeah, Keith Moon.
Keith Moon. Yeah.
Who did Keith Moon kill?
He killed like his personal assistant.
Yeah, it was a chauffeur.
Just as a joke.
Guaranteed Ginger Baker has killed somebody, whether it's on record or not.
In Africa? I guarantee you.
That dude's
killed
some fools for sure, dude.
I don't want to guarantee it.
He attempted to kill his bass player on stage, so guaranteed he killed people off stage.
He's probably put a bullet in someone at some point. We've never heard that. Keith Moon, yes, ran over his chauffeur on accident.
Snoop Dogg? Didn't something shady go down?
But he was acquitted.
He was sipping on gin and juice.
Acquitted of that. So murder was the case that they gave him, but he was proven not guilty in a court of law. So
Sid Vicious,
yes, of course. Definitely involved in the death of his girlfriend, Nancy.
You ever seen Sid and Nancy?
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. It always solidifies the fact that he could really barely do anything. I mean, it was just a look, and Johnny was like, hey, this guy looks punk. Let's get him in the band.
Well, yeah, the guy that really got screwed in that whole deal was Glenn Matlock. Because he wrote a lot of the songs and played bass in the band, but they just didn't really feel like that he fit in. So they were like, oh, you're out. Sid's in. But that's a really interesting movie. And the guy that directed that was a far out freaky guy. And he made a movie after that called Walker, which is just, if you want to watch a freaky film, watch Walker sometime.
Freaky films.
Freaky
films.
Are we going sidetracked on the films? No, not that one.
No, I was going to say Pink Flamingos by John Waters, if you want to see a freaky film.
Yeah. Anything with John Waters.
Anything John Waters done is crazy. Jim Gordon, we talked about. There was obviously the black metal band in Norway or whatever where the lead singer killed everyone, like killed the guitar player or something.
I can't remember that.
Ended up just putting a music thing about that, or a documentary. The guy from As I Lay Dying, the lead singer, 2003, pleaded guilty to solicitation for murdering his estranged wife, and they had a undercover cop that went in there and posed to be a hitman and He was going to allegedly pay him about $20,000.
Didn't that same thing happen to Phil Rudd from AC/DC?
We already talked about him.
Oh, man. Well, mad. God, yeah. I came in late over here.
Well, that's, well, hey, you know what? But the Phil Rudd thing, alleged.
Yeah, that threatening. That, which yeah, is I think like, that was more of like, it was sounded like they were just trying to pin him on something because it sounded sketchy and then he didn't get busted for anything. It was.
Who's that guy?
Joe Meek. That was one I was going to. Now, this guy was a pretty cool producer at the time. He worked with the Purple, Ritchie Blackmore, the Outlaws. Really only had one hit with the Tornadoes, Telstar, but he really started to kind of fall down into a spiral. Things weren't working for him. And then one day he got into an argument with his landlady, pulled a gun on her, shot her to death, and then put it on himself.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's kind of a story.
So how this all started, Jay, was we do this talk about music every couple of weeks.
Podcast. It's a podcast like a radio show, but you can control it.
exactly, Ned. And so I was saying we could increase our listenership because serial killer podcasts are very popular. Everybody I know that listens to podcasts, almost all of them listen to like killer ones. They listen to criminal murder ones.
Yeah,
so.
Listen to the wrong ones.
Yeah, obviously.
I listened like
David Koresh was a musician.
Yeah.
If we're going to count old Manson. Charlie Manson.
Uncle Charlie.
Yeah, Uncle Charlie. So I guess he went to LA and was a singer-songwriter out there in LA before he decided to form his little church in Texas, which he's actually they've got a video of a song, and I think, you know what, I don't really care if we get sued for playing this. Let's just listen to how great David Koresh's song or music career could have been.
We're living on the edge.
Are we?
I mean, we'll see.
That'd be a good name for a song.
Oh, did they mute this? Oh, come on. Don't tell me you muted this, guys.
They
YouTube.
Checked you, homie.
What are you doing?
Neil Young was a big fan of Charles Manson, wasn't he?
I think our former voice guy,
Nick Michaels.
It's coming. Here we go. David Koresh. It's called Madman and something.
You heard it here first.
You played on this demo, didn't you?
It sounds pretty good, actually.
Who are from the street in the night?
I mean, considering
bad,
all the
really.
Other junk that was coming out of the 80s, this fits right in there, to be honest with you.
I had the vocal line nailed before I even heard the song.
Jay was this close to being a cult leader. Yeah. This close to being a cult leader.
I can still do it, man.
I guess you could. All right, enough of that trash. David Koresh, the black metal bassist, Varg Vikernes, stabbed a bandmate, and that was the one I was talking about, Mayhem. I think they just did a movie about. We talked about Charlie, talked about Vince Neil. That's pretty much it. And most of those guys are all kind of.
It's pretty amazing. It's amazing that the list isn't like thousands of people, you know?
Yeah, long
and in this crazy business. Right.
Are,
yeah.
I want
to strangle my drummer half the time after a show.
Yes, exactly.
Love you, Nick. So
he can't listen to this. He doesn't even know what a podcast is. He doesn't know how to listen to a podcast.
No, I was saying that I think our former voice guy Nick Michaels told a story about that Neil Young had actually had some Charles Manson demos and was promised to pass those along, kind of thing. But I'm sure that those guys throughout their life have said that to individuals as they met them at parties. Yeah, I'll pass it along.
Did you see the movie Mandy?
No.
Oh, God, you got to watch it. Man, it's such a good movie. It's, what's his name?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage at his best. And what I mean by that is.
It's a pretty low bar.
The guy is insane, right? He's insane.
Yeah.
In real life. Maybe not. We don't know him personally, but he definitely gives off the feeling that
makes
he
makes some odd choices, it seems
insane.
Like.
Well, that's basically what this movie is about. It's about a guy who's with this chick. She ends up getting murdered, and he goes crazy with revenge. I love vengeance movies. I think this is awesome. But the main antagonist in the movie is a former 70s rock idol guy turned cult leader who's living in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, and they've got a bunch of these crazy like biker guys that take a bunch of LSD and they just go on the hunt for people, and that's how he gets involved. So even though that's a fictional musician that killed somebody, that's part of the discussion. Watch Mandy. It's so good, man.
Have you seen Kiss of the Vampire's Kiss with Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
That's a good Nicolas Cage
also,
movie.
But again, when he plays crazy, he's phenomenal. I just guess that he's just playing.
When does he? Yeah.
But it's just like all the Pauly Shore movies in the 90s. It's just like,
oh gosh,
Pauly Shore being Pauly Shore. What did Pauly Shore be like in the army? Yeah. In the army now. What would Pauly Shore be like if he married a farmer's daughter?
What would he be like if he found a caveman in ice?
Yeah, Encino Man. What would be like with Pauly Shore inside of a biodome?
That'll be easy.
Yeah. I mean, those are literally the Pauly Shore movies in the 90s, and all he had to do was be himself. So I think that's kind of what
he's like the stoner version of that one guy. I can't think of that guy's name. Jim Varney.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his character's name? Ernest goes to there.
Yeah.
You know what? Ernest.
I saw.
I love Ernest.
I do. He was great in Toy Story.
Yeah. I saw an amazing movie last night, and this is my party note before I head out the door and leave you guys to your podcast. The Jonas Brothers documentary on Amazon is actually badass. Just side note, I watched it yesterday. And it was so good,
like
dude.
And say
it
was so good. Jonas Brothers.
Did they kill anybody?
I didn't love the Jonas Brothers prior. Now I have a newfound respect for these guys.
What makes it badass?
It just shows their story from when they were young brothers, up and coming, and then their whole deal, how they rose to success. They went in a year. They went from riding in a crappy little van, playing food courts at malls, to arenas around. It was crazy ride. So, and then they got in a fight and broke up, and then now they're and didn't talk to each other, and now they're back together. It's a crazy story.
You managed them in the beginning, your parents?
Dad, and he was a preacher at a church, and they had to keep it a secret because the church found out, and the church canned him. It was crazy stuff. I got goosebumps. Look, Jonas Brothers, who would have thought?
Man, I don't know. You're not going to talk me into the Jonas Brothers. You may talk me into Bob Lazar.
I recommend good documentaries, guys. Searching for Sugar Man, Bob Lazar.
Great story.
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Also,
I recommend the shit.
Oh, man,
so
dude.
Believe me on this one. Jonas Brothers. You know what? Another one good too is the newer boy band one. That's a good One Direction.
Phenomenal.
We're so far off topic right now.
We're talking about serial killers, so I guess you can really do whatever you want when you're talking about serial
killers. All right, carry on, guys.
Did Jonas Brothers kill anybody?
I don't know. I'm going to go start
maybe
a cult.
Maybe with kindness.
I'm going to go buy some land and start a cult. Let's see. I'm going to sell Bitcoin, buy some land, and start a cult. See you guys. You can join my cult if you want.
Start calling him J. Christ.
Bring your own acid.
J. Christ. His holiness. His unholiness. All right. Well, I think that was weird. We established that yes, musicians can kill people.
Yes,
and I'm sure there are some situations that we don't even know about that have been buried. Who knows? Killing themselves—that's probably the most common. To be quite honest with you, whether it's drugs, overdose, or otherwise, they probably hurt themselves more than they hurt other people.
Yeah, that's very true.
I would probably side on that, but. Just remember, musicians are people too, like us.
Yeah,
they're capable of anything.
We just give people homework when we end these, so I think that our homework for this one is don't kill anybody.
Don't kill anyone, and don't watch the Jonas Brothers documentary. No matter what Jay tells you, that one is a no-go. But he is right. If you do get a chance, Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers, a phenomenal, phenomenal documentary. But honestly, just listen to, I don't want to drop another podcast, but I will because it's so good. Joe Rogan's experience with interview with Bob Lazar is phenomenal. It's crazy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy, but man, I'm telling you, dude, it still got me down in a rabbit hole thinking about that.
Jay is. He believes we didn't land on the moon.
Yeah, Jay also thinks that the moon landing was fake, which if you've seen, they released a documentary in Apollo 11, 50th anniversary. And we went and saw it at Alamo a couple months back because I'm a space nerd. I go out and I look at the stars and stuff. I got a telescope, all that jazz. They redid all the photos. They redid all the footage. There is no possible way with the footage of them coming around the dark side of the moon in the craft that was faked. There's no way they could have faked that. Why would you? They did it. It's unbelievable. And for anyone that's out there saying that landing was faked is completely doing a disservice to the astronauts that were involved in it, literally heroes that put their life on the line, putting themselves in a box the size of an elevator, flying themselves and slingshotting themselves across the moon, not even knowing if they'd ever make it back. the scientists that made it possible, the mathematicians that made it possible, the engineers. You're discrediting all those people's hard work and all the money spent and all the blood, sweat, and tears by saying it was even faked. So don't do it. It wasn't. It's real. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah. If they did fake it, there would be, we're so far off topic. Thousands of people would have had to be involved in faking it, and somebody would have cracked by now, but nobody has cracked.
Now, if it was faked. Though, and that's always been the topic, at least Neil deGrasse Tyson always says that, well, if UFOs did exist and there were some scientists across the world that did know about it, wouldn't you think that those guys would get it out there? Now, Bob Lazar's theory is that most of the stuff that is owned, that is alien technology, is owned by private companies, defense contractors, like EG&G, the one he worked for. So that would make sense that if it is, and on top of that, they're not always looking at it. They only study it when science progresses. They look at it again, see if they can figure it out. If they can't, they shutter it up, they move it somewhere else, and they bury it for 10 years, and then they go at it again. That makes perfect sense. Is he telling the truth or not? I don't know. I believe him. I think it was crazy, but yeah, we're way off topic.
Watch a documentary. Watch a documentary.
Not the Jonas Brothers. Watch something else. Maybe about the musicians that kill people.
Yeah, rest in peace to Beth, Dog's wife. Passed away.
Oh,
yesterday.
Yeah. You know, I really like them. They seem like a really good couple. You know what I mean? And it's sad to see when true love like that, one of them's gone. That's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
You too. See you.